for the opportunity of coming here. The gentleman's already said we have some links with folk in the congregation here with Graham and Jeff, who are at Crusader camps. They are Christian camps. They have at Wanaka and other places up around Central. So, yeah, there is a sort of links that last a long time. We found we have another link too with Alistair Snell coming to pick up an interim pastorate here because he went to the same school as me at Kuiper Valley, and both of us were first day pupils there, so there's only 100 kids in the school, and so we know him quite well. And when the Kuiper Valley High School in Dunedin has its anniversaries on the 25th and 50th, they drag out Alistair and myself to take the service, so I'm sure you'll have a good time. I told Jeff that I'll be his Jim the Baptist preparing the way for him when he comes here. So now, Lois and I have been in ministry for over 40 years. Most of those were in the North Island. We started in an inner city church in Wellington, and then went to a church plant on the North Shore at Long Bay in Auckland, and then went to a rural one for 10 years in Te Awamutu and the Waikato, and then went for 10 years up to Kaitaia, which is quite different, and then down for 6 years in Darfield, just out of Christchurch, and we retired there for a year, and then had the invitation to do what he asked Alistair to do, to replant our Baptist church in Wanaka. So when we went there, we were guaranteed 3 people. And in the statistic book of the Baptist Union, we're one of the fastest growing churches because we've gone from about 3 to 9. So, pretty good. It's really good to come down here and renew some of the acquaintances that we've had before. As I said before, we've been working through the fruit of the Spirit. It's a verse from Galatians 5 verse 22. And this message that we have here is looking at one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, but not really fruits of the Spirit. The Bible speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, one fruit. And it's a bit hard to describe, but someone said it's a bit like the colours of the rainbow. They're there, you don't always see them, but they all make up the whole. Or really something like fruit salad, where each part of it is really important. But it's not like the gifts of the Spirit, which are given for ministry, like preaching or giving or administration or prophecy or anything like that. They're distributed amongst the body of Christ, and very few people have all of them, but we all have at least one that God expects us to use. So they're distributed amongst the body of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. All of us are meant to have the whole lot. And we can't sort of say, well, you know, goodness is one of the things I have, but patience isn't it? I'm not a patient person, but that's out. We're all expected to develop the whole lot. And as I said to the children, the way that we're judged on our maturity is not primarily on the gifts that we have, but on the fruit of the Spirit. This is what people outside in the community look for in the body of Christ. So it's really important, isn't it? The passage of Scripture that I'm reading about might initially look like it has too much to do with peace, but we'll come to it in just a minute. Acts chapter 12 and verses 1 to 8. It says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And this happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to the to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. And Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone on the cell. And he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and the story goes on. When we look at the TV, we realize that we live in a very restless and unhappy sort of world with tensions and anxieties and fears. We look at the events in places like Syria and Iraq, and we wonder how we could ever live in a place like that where our lives are in danger every day, the strife that's on the international scene. And yet we find that even personally and in our own country, that peace is often something that is elusive. And we find that there are stresses in all sorts of ways that come into our lives. The stress of just living. A week or two back last night, I went with our son and his wife and four kids in Levin. He's a policeman up there. And us old folks just join in with the family and wonder how they cope with the stress. All the kids playing four different sports teams and they've got to be counted around that part of the country. All of them have got the emotional problems, the stress work, and all of these things. And it is really something that's quite stressful, and you wonder, how in the world can we have peace with so many things that we're worried about, so many stresses that we have. Put that in contrast to this passage that we've just read. There's a little prayer that used to be prayed quite a bit. Lay me down to sleep. How do the words go on that one? Because that's a blank sheet of paper. But it sort of finished with, "If I should die before I awake, take me to heaven for Jesus' sake," or something like that. And if we stop to think, you know, if this was the last time we were going to close our eyes, and it was the last sunset that we'd seen, the last time that we'd hear the birds singing, the last time that we would hold someone in our arms or they would hold us in their arms, how would you feel? Well, that was a little kid's prayer, but when you stop and think about it, how would we really feel if we knew that that was the last day that we're going to have? And that was really the situation that Peter faced in this passage here. King Agrippa, like all politicians, tried to please the people. In those days, they were a bit more extreme. And he found, as the passage that we read said, that it pleased the people, it pleased the Jewish people, that he put James to death. And he thought, wow, if I can be that popular putting James to death, it should be even better if I put Peter to death. That's really behind this passage here. So Peter was in prison, and the likelihood of execution was, it was just about 100% the next day. And there he is in the prison, and he's chained to two Roman soldiers. And in the setting, it sounded like he had a sleepwell mattress or anything like that, probably on the floor. And an angel turns up. And if it was you or me, how would we feel? Tomorrow we're going to be executed. We'd be awake worrying or awake praying. But Peter is really sound asleep. That's amazing, isn't it? Going to be executed tomorrow, and he's sound asleep. It's amazing that the angel came, but I think that's the amazing thing, that Peter was sound asleep, and he knew he was going to be executed. And when you look at Peter's story, before God became a close part of his life and the Spirit came into his life, he was a person who was afraid. He was always in trouble. But here he's at perfect peace. That's an amazing peace, isn't it, to have. To know that you're going to be executed. But hey, my life's in God's hands, and that's all that really, really matters. And that's really what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. That passage from Galatians, where it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, sort of says, before we're going to have this fruit grow, there's really a bit of weeding that needs to take place at the same time. One of those weeds is anxiety, the things that we get anxious about, and sometimes they're really things that we should be handing over to God. But we worry about it and we become anxious, and when that's there, then this kind of peace that God wants us to have is not going to take root. It speaks here in Galatians 5, people became enemies, they fight, and they became jealous. And the meaning behind this was the spirit of one who delights in causing trouble. So say if there's strife there, the fruit is not going to develop. And then jealousy, which is really feelings of bitterness when we see someone else really doing well. So there's really a need, before this peace can take root, the Bible says, to do a bit of weeding as well. So what is the peace that we're talking about? Well, in some ways it's easy, first of all, to describe it in a negative way. Well, it isn't. Peace is not merely the absence of activity. Now, I'm not sure what sort of sphere that you're working or involved in. But people can be in an office and there are people around the place and everything's happening and think, man, if I only get rid of all these people, it would be peaceful. Your teachers often think like that. Schools would be great places if there weren't too many kids around there. We just sort of want that space, and if I would just be myself, it would be peaceful. And we understand what they're talking about, but it's not the sort of peace that the Bible's talking about here. Now, peace isn't even just the absence of hostility. We look at what's happening overseas and that sort of thing and say, yeah, if they just live in peace, that would be good. And of course, we all want that. One person, a man called Harman, had defined this peace in this way. Peace is that brief, glorious moment in history when everyone stands around reloading. It often happens, isn't it? Oh, good piece of time here, gives you time to get the thoughts in the gun and we'll start all over again after it's finished. But it's not really the absence of hostility that we're talking about here. And peace is not escaping from reality. Because there are times we think, man, if I could only get into the city, it's a different lifestyle there, that would be good. And the people in the city say, hey, if only get into the country, it's just so peaceful there. But when we have our internal problems, we take them with us, don't we? And it's very hard to escape them. Someone has described the peace that we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit, in this way. A state of integrity, harmony, and completeness within the person's life. Now that's a pretty amazing sort of peace, isn't it? A similar definition is the peace of the New Testament with the fruit of the Spirit is a tranquility of heart which derives from the all-pervading knowledge that we are in the hands of God. So things can be falling to pieces around us, but we have that wonderful peace that our lives are in His hand and He is with us. But it's hindered because we very often have those internal civil wars. And there's a restlessness of spirit that sometimes makes people work from dawn to dusk. Now, you know, we need to be industrious, and people very often do it with the right motives, but sometimes if there's a restlessness there, we've just got to keep ourselves busy because we haven't got time to think of where we really are. I read a little bit about some of the presidents of the United States, and Lyndon Johnson was regarded as the whirlwind president. But, you know, the secular people who write about him said he was so churned up and so restless inside, he just had to work because he really didn't have any internal peace. And sometimes we have that internal civil war where we've just got to keep busy. Another thing is the guilty conscience. When we know how we should be living, what God wants in our lives, and of course if we're heading in the wrong direction, we're not going to have that peace until we come back on track and ask His forgiveness and His help. David in the Old Testament spoke about this in Psalm 51. He said, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So what he was really saying was, yeah, when he was away from God, he didn't have any joy, and he didn't have any peace. And so we need to look at that side of things to make sure that we're walking the way that God wants us to go to have that peace. The other one is a lonely heart. And it sounds like the title for a soap on TV, but really loneliness is one of the things that prevents many people from having peace. And the further we get away from God, the more fractured we become with one another and the society around about us. And there are people who are desperately lonely, and it's one of the reasons for a great deal of disquiet amongst people, that they're just by themselves and are not part of a community. And these things can sort of really affect the kind of peace that we have. So how do we have peace? Philippians 4, 6 to sort of has some really good verses. It says, "Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers ask God for what you need." And as the old hymn says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And those prayers can be general. We know that we can smile to God with joy because of what He's done for us. We can bring to Him our sorrows and look to Him for direction in the big things. And then there's the prayer in particular for the things that we sometimes really worry about, that we can bring those to Him. And then the small items as well. Someone has said it's like the concert, the program, and the item. We can bring those to Him. And as we put it in His hands, then we can experience the kind of peace that He offers us. And it says to do so with thanks. The Good News Bible said, always asking Him with a thankful heart. And sometimes when things are going wrong, it's very difficult to praise God in the middle of it. You know, if you're doing the ironing, it falls on your foot and breaks you. It's not something you're going to stop and say, "Thank you, Lord, that this has happened." But it's really that ability to know that God is in control in the midst of very difficult circumstances. A week or two back, I was flicking around the TV and saw Joel Osteen. You know, he's a guy in Texas that's got 26,000 people in his congregation, which is slightly bigger than the one that we have in Wanaka. But he was telling about the story about the Shunammite woman that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 4. This lady had wanted a child all of her life. A child was given in miraculous circumstances and then died. And you would think that someone like that would be hugely upset. Of course, there was sorrow, but she made her way immediately to Elisha. And Elisha saw her in the distance and sent his servant Gehazi there, and he said, is everything all right with your husband? She said, yes, everything's all right. Is everything all right with you? She said, everything's all right. Is everything all right with the child? And the scripture there in 2 Kings 4, verse 26 says, he said, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? She said, everything is all right. That's amazing. In one way, we might say, oh, she was telling lies because it wasn't. Or she was hiding from reality. But really what she was saying is, everything is in God's hands. And Sharon Nicholson was telling us about some missionaries who went through a traumatic time. And they said, our God reigns. And that's really what she was saying here. Our God reigns. And she had a peace in the middle of it. And looking from the outside, it was anything but all right. Some of you may have seen that film called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Did anyone see that? It's a story of some English people who went and had a holiday in a hotel in India, and it was just this little one that was on the edge of closing down, and the guy that ran it was quite optimistic, and this is what he said. Everything will be all right in the end, so if it's not all right, it's not the end. It really isn't a bad way, but that's really what this is saying, and that's the way that we have peace of food. Sometimes we face tragic and difficult circumstances, and there's no way that we can give glib sort of explanations for it. And sometimes we may have bereavement in our families, and there's no Elisha to bring them to life. And sometimes we say, well, where is God? But what we don't realize is that when we finish here on earth, it's not the end. And for some people, it may not become right in this life, but we know this because our hands are in God's hands, that everything will be all right. So we look at the finances and difficulty that we have, and right now we might be able to pay the bills, but we say, yeah, everything's all right. Our God reigns. He is in control. And when that happens, he gives us a peace that passes all understanding, that in the midst of trial and difficulty and tension and everything else, that he can give us a peace and we say, our God reigns. Is everything all right now? Well, it might be, it'll be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. So just finish with this, that when we have the peace of God, we all know that we have to have peace with God at the start. Billy Graham's, one of his first book was called Peace with God. And it's that a truth that when we're not in a relationship with God and know his forgiveness and the hope of eternal life, we're never going to have any sort of peace. So we need to have that peace with God. And then as we do that, and abide in his presence and spend that time in prayer, that we will have the peace of God in our lives. Look at these verses here. Matthew 11:28, I will give you rest, which other translations say peace. Psalm 23, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, which is peaceful resting. He restores my soul, and it's peaceful renewing. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Don't be like everyone around. God gives us a wonderful peace. It's not like anything that you can get anywhere. So don't be troubled, don't be afraid. And this one from John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Remember we used to have those little promise boxes? Anyone have those? Put your little promise and
find some encouragement for the day. This isn't one that we found in there, is it? Pick it up. In this world, you will have trouble. Something to start the day with that, is it? But you see, even as followers of God, we're not exempt from times of difficulty or trial. But again, our God reigns. He has overcome the world, and we can have confidence in Him that even though we cannot understand it, that our lives are in His hands. And then the final one is Psalm 4:8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So when we talk of the fruit of the Spirit, this aspect of peace is just something really precious, isn't it? That the environment around us may be stressful, but God just gives us this wonderful peace in the midst of those very difficult sort of times. And it comes from Him. That doctor I was talking about right at the start was Dr. Paul Carlson in the Congo. That's what he said. All those people were around, but in the middle of it, he just had a wonderful peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for the encouragement that we can find from it. You know the situations that each of us face at home, in our community, and You know those things that keep us awake at night. We pray that each of us will experience that peace that passes all understanding, that like Peter, that we will have that quiet assurance that our lives are in Your hand, that we will have that good night's sleep, and that we will not be worrying about things that are really Your concerns, that we will hand them over to You. And so we pray that Your blessing will be upon us, and we in turn will share the same sense of supernatural peace that passes all understanding with those around us in our community. And this we pray in Your name. Amen.